check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm over here sipping on a Sprite Winter Spiced Cranberry. Sprite Zero, to be specific.
Yeah. I had some of those. I'm not as big a fan as the spiced cranberry as the regular cranberry they used to have.
I agree. There's something about the spiced. I'm not gonna
I don't
lie.
know.
These are cans that I've had since last year.
Oh.
I'm trying to get through all of my soda because fun fact, me and my wife Kayla, we got recently bought a house, so trying to drink up all my old soda before we move.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as the spice as I am the regular, but it's okay.
Is.
But
It's just okay.
I got some of the Sprites here, but they're not a year old, they're from this year. But I am over here sipping on a Samuel Adams Winter Lager, which is
Ooh.
highly delicious. But alas, that's not what we're here for.
No.
We are here for horror. But before we dive into that, as this episode is released, it is Thanksgiving. So we would be remiss if we didn't tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Turkey Day. Hopefully, everybody has eaten well and visited with family. I know that well, by time you're listening to this, I will have eaten very well and visited with family. So, but of course, I eat well all the time. So,
Time.
but on on this episode, we are reviewing the movie He Never Left. That is coming up later in the show. But let's first discuss our ongoing discussion on the series Creep Tapes. Ike, let's discuss episode 3, Jeremy. Let's try to do this spoiler free. I will start here. As we talked last week, the first episode I felt really laid the foundation for the series, which is basically just rehashing the first two movies to give you a sense of what is happening. And series episode 2 kind of then ventured out. But I will say that episode 3, man, absolutely incredible. I think each episode is getting a little better. Episode 3 was so creative, so fun. Not that I wasn't before, but I am full on hardcore invested in this series. Absolutely loving it. It is so enjoyable. I don't know, everything about it to me is just hitting on all cylinders. It's the right time. It doesn't exceed its welcome. It's not too long. It gets in and out. It's got enough comedy. The comedy, I love everything about it. And I don't want to give away any spoilers. Episode 3, the premise of it was so fun. And that was my big question coming into this series is, well, how are they going to do this for 6 episodes and not make it kind of redundant? And so far, they have done very well. They've given each episode has had an original flavor. And episode 3 was so much fun. Ike, what did you think of Jeremy?
Well, everything you said is 100% accurate. I would add that this one got a few laughs out of me. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I'm just gonna say this. Our friend who is the creep, I'll just call him the creep. He's a priest in this episode. So I'll just leave it at that. I mean, that alone is the perfect setup for like probably the funniest episode of a serial killer show that you could possibly make. So I just so much fun. Literally, I was laughing, I was having a good time, I was enjoying the setup. And I think that this just further proves that Mark Duplass is just supremely talented. I mean, this man has played a different character in every single movie and/or episode of The Creep, but also being a similar character, if that makes sense. I mean, he plays all these different people who are different backgrounds, different professions, different circumstances, and it's so refreshing to see such a talented actor in a horror film like this, because honestly, Mark Duplass could be doing so much bigger things, but I'm so happy that he's doing this.
Yeah, this I love how this one was the I see how I'm going to say this. It was the an episode of a where it was supposed to be a gotcha episode, but it turned out
Literally.
to be like a double gotcha.
Right.
It was so great. And and it's like all I can think is, my gosh, what are they going to do for the last three? And because this one was so good. This was so fun. Bravo. All I can say is, man, the creep. We've talked about how much we love the movies, how hopeful we were for this series, how excited we were that, hey, they're trying something different in a series format. Like I said, I had these, I had questions like, how's this going to work without it just becoming tired and off? No more worries. They've done so well, and it's, geez, it is so good. People, if you are not watching the Creep tapes, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
Go and watch this. It is so fun. It's such an easy watch, right? It's like 20 something minutes. It's just such a, in the best way, such a quick, easy, just fun watch. And this is what we have long been talking about, how horror should utilize the limited series streaming format that's so popular now. And they're doing it wonderfully.
Yep.
So much fun. Cannot praise it enough. Every episode just better than the one before. So I'm super excited to look at episode four next week. Can't wait to see it. But before we get there, Ike, besides the movie He Never Left, besides episode three of Creep Tapes, what else did you watch this week? Anything?
Honestly, I watched a lot.
Yeah.
So I basically anytime recently I just been on this kick where I've been watching movies while I'm working. Because my day job, I'm not required to have no sound, you know what I mean? So like I can listen to movies, and most of these are movies I've seen or knew of. So let's see, I rewatched the Creep movies because after our last episode, I was like, man, I really need to rewatch these because I can't, I think they're just so good. So I rewatched those, obviously great. Watched a movie on Prime called Black Friday. It's about Black Friday. It has Bruce Campbell in it. It's a good time. I watched, I guess this is where things, okay, before I get to the weird stuff I watched both of the Urban Legends movies. Pretty good, obviously. I watched Strange Darling, which came out this year, has Kyle Gallner in it. It's a very unique movie. It's more like a suspense thriller, but it's really, really good. And then the weird stuff. So we talked about it before, but I went back and I watched all of the Psycho movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched, the original 2, 3, 4. I watched the remake. I even watched the 89 Bates Motel TV movie, which wasn't very good. But honestly, the Psycho movies, the sequels are actually really good.
I agree.
I think all of them have redeeming factors, but specifically Psycho 2 is excellent. They literally drive this man to murder. It's just simply, I don't know. I did not know that they could make a sequel that good, especially for something like Psycho. You wouldn't think that they'd be able to set that up for a home run, but they really did. And then outside of that, I jumped headlong into the Massacre movies. So I watched all of the Slumber Party Massacre movies except for the
Yeah.
remake. I had the unfortunate privilege to watch the Sorority House Massacre movies, and I started the Cheerleader Massacre movies. Now, here's the thing. Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2 are actually really decent movies. They're a little heavy-handed with the fan service, if you know what I mean.
But they're fun.
but fun. But then it starts to really significantly fall off from there. The sorority house massacre movies are really fucking weird. The cheerleader massacre movie is really weird, and I haven't gotten into it yet, but there's a movie that was made as a spinoff called the Sharkansas Prison Massacre.
Okay.
All I know is that the cover of this movie is a penitentiary with a shark on it. And I
Well,
it
that can't be anything but good.
right. Well, and all these movies are made under it's like the production company that Roger Corman had for a good long while. I can't remember what it's called now off the top of my head, but these movies are just absolutely absurd. I don't know who continued to give this man money to make these movies, but like they did. So I guess there's something to be said about that. Yeah, it was produced by Roger Corman under his oh God, what was it? It's called It's like the same thing. All of the movies are made under the same production house. I can't remember what it's called. It might be New Horizons.
I don't remember.
But anywho, the long and short of it is that those were super weird. I mean, I'm glad that I watched them, but very weird movies.
So is that it?
Yep, that's it. I watched a lot, but that is it.
Well, I did not watch nearly that much. I did rewatch Thanksgiving, and very much enjoyed, even on a rewatch, that was a very enjoyable movie,
Oh yeah.
and absolutely loved it. So I was super excited about that. And then I did watch the new movie Devin that we talked about that came out as the day as of we're recording this on the 26th, November 26th on Screenbox. And I gotta say, I was watching it and I thought, oh, this is it's all right. It's not that great, not that great, not that great. And then I got to the end and I was like, okay. Yeah, there was a, I don't want to say a twist, but the way they brought it all home, I was like, okay, that kind of not bad. And I won't say it's a great movie, but it was fun enough. And this is the movie that was directed or whatever by what JWoww or whatever that we talked about from Jersey Shore. And yeah, it was okay. It was a fun watch. I did not think so until they kind of, I really thought it was kind of aimless. It's what it felt like. And then they kind of brought it all together at the end pretty well. So yeah, I would advise people to give Devin. It's not a spectacular movie, but it's good enough, and it's only like 1 hour and 12 minutes. It's not really not that long at all, but it was all right, and that's all I've watched in the horror realm. I've been watching some series that are non-horror related to feed my Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki love. I've been watching Fire Country and Tracker. Catching up on those because they both have parts in that. So
Oh.
there you go. And let's move on. Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you just what it says. A cheesy movie, typically a slasher, that we advise you to give a watch because it's either fun or comedic or has something to it. And in the flavor of Thanksgiving, let's revisit an old friend here. Our cheesy slasher of the week is Thanksgiving. The movie is written by Jordan Downey and Kevin Stewart, directed by Jordan Downey, starring Natasha Cordova, Lindsay Anderson, Lance Creedmoor, and others. The movie was released November 17th, 2009 on DVD and is now available to watch on Tubi. If you know, we did do a review of this movie in the past, and Ike and I had quite the chuckle constantly using the tagline, "Gobble, gobble, motherfucker." And that tagline was thought of before the actual plot of the movie. I think that's kind of a telling statement. The opening scene in the movie with adult actress Wanda Lust as a naked pilgrim was shot in a public park without a permit. Throughout the writing and filming of the movie, the creators continually tried to think of a name for the killer turkey, but nothing ever really stuck. So they simply used the name with the alternate spelling turkey, Turkie. So that is officially the name of this killer turkey. The original puppet for Turkey was designed and built by director Jordan Downey. And I did read that the only thing that still exists from it is kind of the neck and head from any of the originals because of all the effects and things kind of destroyed the rest of them. The movie was shot in 11 days in Granville, Ohio, with a $3,500 budget, which you can tell if you watch it. And
Yes.
like I said, we do have a full review of this movie in the archive. I can't, you know what? Here's the thing. Can't say I'm a fan of Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, guys. Just not a fan. There's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities, except for the fact that I just feel like it's one of those things that you just have to check off your watch list just to say you did because of it being a Thanksgiving horror movie with this killer turkey, which at the time was kind of unique. So I feel like people, you just need to watch it just so you can check it off and say that you have. And you know what? We support independent filmmaking and say, you know what? Do your thing. But if you listen to our review of this, this just wasn't our thing. So, but you know, I feel like in the, like I said, in the spirit of Halloween, we had to revisit Thanksgiving. Ike, anything you want to revisit or throw back in about Thanksgiving before we move on?
Listen, I commend them for what they did, and I cannot lie and say that I will not watch that movie this year because I will. This is one of those movies. It's like a train wreck, or a car crash, right? You are almost compelled to look at said car crash, and you can't look away until you've completely drove past it. And it's like we're driving up on the car crash right now, aka Thanksgiving. So it's like I have to watch it. I'm gonna watch it, but I'm not gonna like it. I'm gonna like it a little bit, but I'm not gonna like it a lot. It is basically how it is.
I mean, there are some funny moments, and again, I'm telling you, the tagline "Gobble gobble, motherfucker," just makes me chuckle every time. I
Yes.
don't care. I don't. It's just something. It just rolls off the tongue. It's just poetry. There you have it. Go give Thanksgiving. I mean, there's not a whole lot of Thanksgiving horror to choose from. So you gotta watch it. So go give it a watch. I have watched the sequel, which is ironically Thanksgiving 3. There is no Thanksgiving 2 because in universe Thanksgiving 2 was lost. It's a lost media. It's a whole thing. For all the faults of Thanksgiving 3 is even worse. So I will not in any circumstance recommend that, but you know what? It's Thanksgiving. So be giving, be generous, and you know what? Give Thanksgiving a watch and just, I don't know, have an adult beverage while you do it. It makes it more enjoyable. So
Yes.
let's move on. Talk to us, internet. It's time for Talk to Us, internet. This is where we pick up on either some listener feedback or something that's floating out there in social media, and we explore it a little bit. And on this episode, we're going to talk about the fact that there are reports that there will be a Thanksgiving 2, a sequel to the movie. So with everyone that's talking about it, right, it comes up now. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving, so everybody's talking about, oh, with a sequel coming up. And everybody's talking about obviously the first movie because people, a lot of people are rewatching it. I have to bring to you know, to the question up, Ike. If there is a Thanksgiving 2, which they say they're going to be, what do we want to see out of the sequel? Any thoughts on what we can see on a Thanksgiving 2 movie?
Yeah, or go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. I was gonna say this. I venture to guess with the way they said it in the first one, we're not going to see Patrick Dempsey in this one.
You don't think so?
I think because they did the whole thing where they burnt him and burnt the character, they've established that now they can bring in anybody, make him disfigured, and that's the way it's going to be. So I don't think we're going to have a Patrick Dempsey in part two.
I got you.
So what can they possibly do in a Thanksgiving 2? Any thoughts, Ike?
Yeah, I have two thoughts. which is de definitely more than what I usually have. I'm kidding. but I have two thoughts. So if they were to go the route of, they have disfigured the killer so they can kind of bring in whoever they want to play the killer at this point, since they'll be, under prosthetics or whatever the case may be. I have two thoughts. Either A, we could just have basically like a Halloween 2, you know what I mean? He just comes back, you know what I mean? He experienced this fatal, because essentially the end of Thanksgiving is very similar to the end of Halloween, you know what I mean? And in Halloween, it was Dr. Loomis. He got shot, shot him six times, and he fell off the balcony. And when they went to go find him, he wasn't there. Same thing here. We thought that he died in an explosion, but they come back, and boom, he's not there. So we definitely have this the possibility that they might just follow sort of the traditional slasher movie trope that, hey, mysteriously this body has disappeared and he's just going to pop back up somewhere, which
Well,
they
hold on.
could do.
If you remember, because I just rewatched this, they gave the impression, because they showed the one firefighter walking out with the mask on, so they gave the impression that he walked out wearing the firefighter getup, and that's how he escaped. So that's how they're, to me, they've already set up the explanation that he's walked out of this fire, disguised as a firefighter to escape.
Yeah,
So.
that could be a possibility. I could see them doing that. Now, alternatively, I think that they could pull a really cool switcheroo and they could pull the multiple killer perspective. Because I have rewatched this movie a few times and I still have a very hard time believing that Patrick Dempsey's the only killer. And here's why. He did a lot of stuff from point A to point B in that movie. And there's a lot of stuff that I feel like could be explained with involving other people. So, like Ty Olson's character, Mitch Collins, I feel like they could easily wrap him into it and create sort of a conspiracy type deal in the next movie. They could wrap in other people as well, people who were slighted by the events of that Black Friday. I think it would even be cool to bring Bobby into the fold, maybe make him actually make him one of the killers. I know that they kind of like did the whole thing where he was drugged and everything else. It just seems very convenient that he wasn't, killed. I don't know. I feel like they could very easily create like this whole conspiracy aspect where it isn't just the sheriff, it's like a network of people. So I feel like that could be a cool thing that they could turn and do with the next movie. I think that would be interesting.
Sure. And obviously it's a horror sequel. They can pretty much do whatever the hell they want. And
Right.
I mean, it's like you figure out what you want to do and then you just figure out some weird ass way to explain it. So yeah, there's a lot of lots of things they can do. I am, if this does, I mean, this the talk is it's going to happen. I hope it does happen. I'm curious to see what they do. I like we've talked in the past, I think Jean Carver is a very, very good horror character, that persona. I think it is a persona that doesn't have to be the exact same guy all the time. Kind of like the ghost face. I think it can be, different guys, different killers. I think they can be creative with who's behind it, because if everything stems out of that one Black Friday, that whole incident at that store, there's lots of people who were affected by that. So they can do lots of things with it. And they can always, you can always, what do you call it? Backwards introduce something, there's all kinds of tricks, right? There's whatever they can do. I'm looking forward to seeing it. The first movie was so fun. It just really, really a good movie. It makes me nervous about a sequel and how they'll do it. I hope they can come up with something pretty creative and clever, so as to not just try to be a retread of the first. This is, this is the test, right? You got a movie that's a fun watch. What do you do with the sequel? And
Yeah.
so hopefully they come up with something. I have a feeling they're not going to spend the money yet, like I said, on Patrick Dempsey.
No.
But hopefully they, you got to have some returning characters. So hopefully so. Yeah, but we'll see. I do think we'll get a Thanksgiving too. And pff, probably beyond. So let's see, and let's hope that I'd love a whole franchise of Thanksgiving horror movie. So let's see what happens. But for now, let's move on.
Horror hot take.
And for this week, or this episode, excuse me, our segment is another horror hot take. And this is where Ike and I, it's typically Ike that gives a horror hot take, a very strong opinion on something in the horror genre in some vein. So far, it's been all Ike, but hey, we're pulling a switcheroo. Today, I've got one. And this is going to be, I feel like this is definitely a hot take. And I don't know, I might ruffle a few feathers here. But this is my opinion here. Here we go. I feel like the term, the phrase, the descriptor, elevated horror is absolutely useless. It's a bogus term. And I feel like it's purely a term that's used to try to differentiate certain movies and demean slashers and your typical horror movies. I feel like it's people that want to come in, watch certain horror movies and be snooty and say, "Oh, this is elevated horror. This is not just gore and slash." And I feel like it's fucking not a term we need. I don't feel like we need the phrase or the term or the genre descriptor, whatever. Elevated horror. I just don't feel like it's necessary. I just feel like it's just a different kind of horror, right? It's either a suspense horror or a supernatural horror type or a whatever you might want to be. I feel like the phrase elevated horror is not necessary because I feel like there's plenty of horror out there and has been predating the quote unquote phrase elevated horror that makes you think and is not just mindless. And I'm not knocking mindless, but I'm just saying I don't think we need the descriptor elevated horror. I really think it's just unnecessary. I think it's a way for people to try to capture horror and try to be snooty about it and think that they're something that they're not because they like these whatever these more advanced type horrors. Hey, you know what? And I'm not knocking those movies. That's not what I'm doing here. But I'm just saying I don't think we need a whole new descriptor or new phrase for it because I think what that's trying to do is just absolutely besmirch everything that came before it. So Ike, what do you think about the term elevated horror?
Yeah, honestly, I guess that, now that I'm thinking about it, so I this kind of this is going to sound like a bandwagon type deal. But when you bring it up, right, and you start talking about it, I see exactly what you're saying, where you're coming from, because it is oftentimes the phrase elevated horror is used as sort of a moniker for more highbrow horror, if you will. And I think that inherently paints the picture that horror in of itself, without that moniker of, elevated, can sometimes, it sort of paints the picture that non-elevated horror is like crappy, or it's lowbrow, or it's, mediocre, cheap, whatever the case may be. And in reality, highbrow horror is typically just used to, it is typically just used to describe movies that would normally just be considered horror movies, but it's a new genre of people who want to basically get in on the horror community. And I feel like a lot of people who do use that terminology are people who probably either didn't like horror movies before they watched highbrow or elevated horror, and they kind of are like, I don't want to say like guilty pleasure that they like horror movies. Which I don't think that you should feel guilty about liking anything, but I guess crack would probably be something you might want to feel a little guilty about liking.
Probably.
But and there are probably other things too. But you know what I mean? As far as movies go, I mean, relatively speaking, within reason, no type of movie genre should you feel guilty about liking. And the fact that you have to develop a phrase, moniker, or device to make it seem more acceptable kind of lends credence to the whole concept that we talk about all the time, that horror for a long time has been seen as lesser than other, other types of movies. You know what I mean? So
Yep.
And we even talked about last week with the whole like Oscar stuff and everything else. So yeah, I 100% agree. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a term for, and again, I'm not knocking people, right? Who, if and that's the thing. If you like horror and you say, yeah, I like these type of movies, right? That's fine. I don't care, right? You know, that's cool. And if you say, yeah, I'm not really into gore, I'm not really into slasher, but I like these kind of movies, that's fine. But the term elevated horror, that's not, I don't like that. Because that what you're trying to do is draw a line that that this kind of stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
But what I like's okay. And that's not true, right? There's plenty of horror that's always existed that I feel like is just as substantial, just as credible as what they quote unquote elevated horror. I would venture to guess. I would even put up, you know, I don't know. It's like what do you call an elevated horror? You know, it's like, all right, we call Silence of the Lambs a quote unquote horror movie. I'd hold that up against anything you call elevated. Because I
Yeah.
feel it's a great movie. It's you know, it's you know, makes you think, it's involved. I feel like, I don't know, we just get into too many classifications of warrior. You know, and I get, right? Okay, you want to say slash, I get it, right? That's fine. Because, right, that's a thing. You know, it's you know, some blood, some gore, some whatever. I get that. And then you have you know, some psychological horror, some supernatural horror. I understand that because those are distinct differences. But what elevated horror is not a distinct difference to me, because I feel like there is what you're calling elevated horror exists in all these other genres. I feel like there are very smart slasher movies. I feel like there's very smart supernatural movies. I feel like there's very smart supernatural horror. I don't think we need this other classification to try to pull in of, okay, you have to be this sophisticated to like these movies. Nah, bullshit. Don't give me that.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, elevated horror to me just sounds so pretentious. And it feels like that anything you're not classifying in that, you're putting down. And I don't agree with that. I'm okay if you don't like something, but don't try to put it down by labeling, by cherry picking what you like and calling it elevated horror. Because that doesn't work. Because what elevated horror is not a really a descriptor. Because what these people are classified as elevated horror could fit into all these other subgenres of horror. I mean, you can have, you know, elevated horror that's a slasher, like I said. So it's not distinct, right? It's not like you're saying found footage where there's a distinct style to it. It's so it's not it doesn't it doesn't work. It's not cut and dry. A descriptor to me. It's pulling from other subgenres. It's literally like you just want to cherry pick the movies you like and say, oh, this is sophisticated. Oh, give me a break.
Exactly.
I don't buy into that. I don't like that. And I don't know. It's just a thing for me. It's like I don't feel like it's an app a very I don't feel like it's a sufficient descriptor. Because how do you define elevated horror? You can't. I mean, it's like, you know, you can define what found footage means. You can put a definition on supernatural horror. You can even, I know it varies a little, but you can put a definition on slashers, right? You can give some descriptive terms. Well, what's your descriptive terms for elevated horror? It doesn't work. It just doesn't fit. Because it's too whatever, it's too subjective. I mean, I don't know. Because you really enjoy one movie, are you trying to say you're smarter than me? Because I like you know, Terrifier, where he just is hacksawing a girl in half? Why? Why is one better than the other? It's all freaking entertainment. I don't know. I don't like when we get into too many subgenres. I do understand, again, certain distinctions, but elevated horror is too vague for me. It just doesn't work. And I feel like it's a gatekeeping term almost for people who want to, I don't know, think they're better than others.
Yeah,
I don't know.
it is.
It's what it feels like to me. So that's my hot take. I am calling horror, elevated horror, is a bullshit term that really should not have a place in out there. I don't feel like we should use it. I don't feel like we should accept it. I don't feel like we should encourage it. I feel like it's too pretentious. It's trying to exclude certain people because of what they like and enjoy. And again, I'm calling it bullshit. And I would urge us all to put the movement on that. Let's don't use the term elevated horror. I don't like it. So that's my opinion. So there you have it. I am providing the hot take for this week, and that's, I think I came in pretty good with that one. I think it's a pretty hot. So
I think so. I'm sure that might ruffle some people's feathers, but hey,
yeah,
it makes
well, you know
sense.
what? I don't care. You know what? It all boils down to the fact of I don't care what people like. You can like a singular type of horror movie or a singular franchise or character or whatever. To me, you're still a horror fan then. I don't care. You don't have to like everything. You don't have to like it all. I don't care if you're just a fan of whatever, the Scream movies. Hey, you're a horror fan because those are horror movies. If you like them, you're a horror fan. I don't feel the need to exclude you in any way. I don't feel the need to label you in any way. I just want to walk up to you, give you a hug, and say, "Welcome to the family." I
Right.
don't care. I don't care if you don't like any other horror movies. I don't care. Why do we need to label more? Whatever. I just feel like there's, again, too much gatekeeping. We don't need it. And I feel like the term elevated horror is just that, because it's too hard to define. So that it's just certain people trying to say that they're whatever, better or more sophisticated than other horror fans because this is what they like. And bullshit, whatever. I don't, because again, if you can put a hardcore definition on something, I'm okay with the term. I'm okay with giving it a subgenre if there's a distinct reasoning behind it, right? I don't feel like there is for elevated horror. It's too
Yeah.
vague a term. I feel like there's elevated horror in across the board in certain other types of horror. I really do. So that's my opinion. So if you want to use the term elevated horror, fuck off. But there you go. Dave brings it in hot. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, folks. So let's start us off with some video on demand stuff. First things first, Smile 2 is now available video on demand. You heard that right. We obviously have already reviewed Smile 2. That's already in the archive, so make sure you go check that out. But everybody can watch it now. Literally, if you have a connection to an internet and a computer, smartphone, laptop, whatever it is, you can check it out. I'm sure it'll be streaming
And
somewhere
here's the
eventually.
thing, if you don't, how are you listening to us?
True.
Very confusing.
I don't know. Maybe somebody's like writing it down on paper, rolling it up, putting it on like a
Oh,
pigeon's foot, and it's like flying
I hope
it.
so. I hope that we're out there on that platform.
I hope so too. I don't know how that works, but anywho.
And again, we have a review of Smile 2 in the archives, and I'm pretty sure, at least I know I did. I thought it was superior than the first movie. I thought it was a better
Yeah.
movie.
If I remember correctly, I think we both had similar opinions, and I think we both gave it a four, I want to say,
I
if I
think
remember
so.
correctly.
And I love the first one. I just feel like this was I don't know, felt like it was a better movie overall.
I
And
think so too.
so everybody needs to go watch it and See what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Speaking of streaming, we also have Alien Romulus streaming on Hulu. Again, another fantastic sequel that we have reviewed. It is in the archives. It did receive favorable reviews from us again. But yeah, Alien Romulus was really solid. Definitely kind of goes back to the roots of the alien horror genre. And yeah, it was really great. But it's on Hulu, so if you got
There you
Hulu or
go.
Disney Plus, I think you can watch
Yeah,
it.
that's right. Yep. Go, just watch them all. Watch all the Alien movies through. I highly recommend that.
That's right. Watch them all. There's a lot of them. But very good. Moving on to Courtney Cox has confirmed she's returning for Scream 7. Also, Isabel May, who's been in 1883, and young Sheldon has been cast to play Sydney Prescott's daughter. The movie will hit theaters February 27th, 2026. So, with these two little updates to the roster here, obviously we felt pretty confident Courtney Cox is going to come back, and obviously casting a daughter for Sydney Prescott does lend credence to this is going to be a Sydney-centric film. So I think that's very important in this case that we're going to have sort of a return to these legacy characters and hopefully return to Stu Mocker.
That's right. I hope so. And there's also reports that Patrick Dempsey, very, very close to signing his contract to also appear, obviously as Sydney's wife, or husband, excuse me, Mark. But yeah, there's it's very exciting. I mean, no disrespect to the actresses in the other movies. I you know what we reviewed them. I enjoy them. I have no problems with them. I hope they find a way to transition back smoothly without just trying to. I hope they don't pretend it didn't happen. I hope there's some explanation given. But to me, there's just got to be Sydney. Sydney's got to be there. And I mean, Gail's always been there, but it's exciting to me that Sydney's back. Again, I'm Michelle Barrera and everything not being in it. I hate that because I enjoy her as well. But I am excited that Neve Campbell's back in the fold.
Absolutely. So keep an eye out for more news on that. I'm sure as time goes on, we'll get more news about Scream 7. So keep an ear out for that. Moving on to Nosferatu, starring Bill Skarsgård, will be rated R for bloody violence and graphic nudity. The movie will release in theaters on December the 25th. Very excited about this film. This is one of the ones that I've been very specifically looking forward to. It's just very much one of those ones where it's like I know the source material, I've seen the original at some juncture, but I'm very excited for a modern retelling. This is going to be I think this is going to be a really good one. I think this might make our top five.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I can't lie. I'm very intrigued by this phrase, graphic nudity. I don't know what are we going to see Nosferatu's little willy flapping in the breeze. I don't know. We'll see. No, I'm intrigued. I like that it's an R rating. I want to see this. I want to see fucking Nosferatu just get with it. And let's show what a vampire can be. Skarsgård obviously is very good in everything he does. This
Oh,
is
yeah.
I'm excited. It's going to be good. There's been remakes over the years. There's been tellings over the years, and they're all okay. I'm not knocking any of them, but it's time we had the definitive telling of Nosferatu. So, and I think this might be it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at least for a modern audience, this will most likely be someone's definitive Nosferatu. Especially considering the original was made in like in the 20s, so
Very old, yeah.
very old.
I actually, it might be predate the 20s. It was before sound in movies, so
That's wild. But all right. Well, there you have it for Nosferatu. We're going to move on to Stephen King, another legend. His next novel will be titled Never Flinch and will be released on May 27th, 2025. And it is described as intertwining storylines, one about a killer on a diabolical revenge mission, and another about a vigilante stalking a feminist celebrity speaker. So it's an interesting little like little plot synopsis there. So yeah, I mean, I'll definitely check it out. I love Stephen King, and I love a good spooky book.
Absolutely. Me too. And like I said, it'll be out in May 27, 2025. I wonder how quickly there will be a film version, because they like to convert Stephen King over to movies, because it works. So
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen King is, he just makes them good. That's all I can say.
the
Makes them good.
man.
He is the man. All right. So that's it for our news this week. We're going to move on to some upcoming birthdays. Starting us off strong. Well, in your opinion, potentially strong. November 28th, Monica, one of the wives here on the show. She shares her birthday this year with Turkey Day, with her birthday being at the end of the month. I think. Because I don't think Thanksgiving's on the same day every year, so it's kind of infrequently she shares her birthday with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's always the fourth Thursday. So yeah, ever so often it always lands on Thanksgiving ever so many years. So this is the year that yeah, her birthday's on Turkey Day. So yeah, happy birthday, Monica. As the day this is released, it's not only Thanksgiving, but her birthday as well.
There you go. Lovely, lovely, and hopefully she eats lots of turkey. I know that she loves Thanksgiving, so all right. And sharing her birthday, we actually have a couple people sharing her birthday, but we have November 20th, 1958, Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. He plays Tommy in that one. So yeah, I mean that's a pretty big name, I feel like, for the horror universe. So you share a birthday with Tom Matthews. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I like Tom Matthews. Part 6 is a good movie, I think. I like it. One of my favorites of the franchise. And it's a it's not Corey Feldman, but it's a pretty definitive Tommy.
I agree. I'm pretty sure that's the one that they use for the video game, the Tommy that's in the Friday 13th game. So there you
Think
go.
so.
And then we also have November 20th, 1946, Joe Dante, director of Gremlins and The Howling. Those are two very, very different movies, with extremely differing qualities. The Howling by no means is a horrible movie, but it's not the best. And the Gremlins, I would even argue, is one of the better movies of that, genre, the Gremlins movies. So, yeah, so I guess happy birthday to Joe Dante. Another birthday that Monica shares this year.
That's right. Well, I will definitely wish a very happy birthday to anybody that gave us Gremlins. So, thank you, Mr. Dante.
That's right. All right. And now moving on to November 30th, 1979, David Howard Thornton, the man himself, known of course for his role as Art the Clown in the Terrifier franchise, but also as the Mean One and as Player Two in Scream, maybe. It's either one or two, I don't remember. But obviously, we both love David Howard Thornton. Art the Clown is his most definitive role, I would say. He is a superior actor. And I cannot wait to see him in future projects.
Yeah, I love him as Art the Clown, but I feel like, I don't know, man, I just feel like he could get such a breakout role. And I really, he's done it in some fan films. I want to see David Howard Thornton play the Joker in a Batman movie. To
Yeah.
me, how fucking perfect would that be? But he's done it in some fan films. But the man is extraordinarily talented. So, as long as he keeps playing Art the Clown, I'm happy.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen the fan film, well, part of it, that and he's also like done like his Joker voice like at conventions and stuff. I think he could be, very pretty strong competition, if they ever went that direction. I think
I
that
think so.
it could be done.
Yep, I agree.
But well, all right. Moving on to December 4th, because December is almost here. December 4th, 1954, we today both remember and celebrate Tony Todd, who is, of course, known for his roles in Candyman, Night of the Living Dead remake, and Hatchet. Obviously, Tony Todd has done so much more. Final Destination, he was in Scream, he was in a billion movies, I feel like. And he's just such a fantastic actor. He did recently pass away, of course, and Yeah, I mean, he will be forever remembered, for his iconic roles in the horror community.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a couple films still yet to come out that, he finished worked on, and it's definitely one of the icons. But it's always so bittersweet when you want to say happy birthday to someone that you just recently lost. And I mean, not undermining anybody else, but man, Tony Todd, he's one of the giants in horror.
Yeah, he really is. He is. I mean, it cannot be said enough that, like you said, he is easily one of the most iconic actors in the horror genre. So, like you said, he will be forever missed. But all right, we're gonna move on now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have November 28th, 2014, The Babadook. This is a good one. This is a little bit of a slow burn. And it's I think it's an English movie in
That's
jolly old Britain.
some of that elevated horror.
That's right. A lot of people call the Babadook elevated horror. They do.
Well.
I do like the Babadook, but
Oh, I do
I
too, but I just
it is one of those common, like, oh, this is my highbrow. People who say, like, oh, I love the Babadook, they are either like, oh yeah, that was a pretty good movie, or like, I like the Babadook because it's more cerebral,
Yes. Yes, and man, I don't want to get on that tangent again because we already visited it. How many of those people truly enjoy the Babadook or just want to sound like there's something special and pick, oh, what's your favorite movie? Oh, it's the Babadook. Okay, what? Okay, I'm not saying that. It's a great film, but people ask me, what's your favorite? I'm like, okay, I don't know, Halloween 78. I'm like, do you feel like you have to try to make yourself sound better by picking whatever. I'm not going to get on that tangent again about the elevated horror, but I like the Babadook, but it is like the poster child that they put up there for this. Whatever. Go ahead.
No, you're good. It's absolutely true, though. It's 100%. It's what they put up there as their version. So,
I'm not blaming the film at all because I enjoy the film. It's not that. It has nothing to do with the film. But it's just, I just
yeah.
burns me up.
But all right, we're gonna move on to November 28th, 2018. 4 years later, the house that Jack built. This is I feel like this is one of my favorite, like, horror movies from, like, the 2010s, the 2020s, maybe like the 2015s. I don't know what the generations would be here. But I watched The House that Jack Built because somebody put it on, like, a list of, like, most disturbing horror movies, and it didn't really seem to be that disturbing from, like, a glance. And I would even argue that it's not really that disturbing. There are some pretty jarring elements to the movie, some pretty jarring scenes, but no, nothing outside the unusual as it pertains to, like, horror movies, especially for, like, Terrifier movies. This movie isn't, like, that outlandish comparatively, but it's a good one. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's disturbing in a different way, and I'm pretty sure I'm almost positive that we have a review of this in the archives, and because this is one of the movies that where we had a hole and you threw it out there for us to watch and do. So there is a review in the archives, but yeah, I would say it's plenty disturbing. It's just in a different way, right? It's not not because of blood, guts, gore, or anything else. It's different. And it's a good film.
Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend it if you have not watched it out there, folks. I believe it's on Hulu. But all right, moving on to November 30th, 1990. Speaking of Stephen King, we have Misery. It's been a very long time since I've seen this movie, but this one's a good one. I need to go back and watch it here soon, I think.
Yeah, it's oh man, yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it too, but it's a yeah, good film. But again, like we said earlier, just goes back to how many times can you say that about movies based on Stephen King films, right? There's so many of our books. There's so many of them. And, Misery is just another. It's, with Kathy Bates and everything, it's a good movie. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, we're going to move on to November 30th, 2012. So, a good 22 years later, The Collection. This is another very underrated horror film, The Collection and The Collector. And I believe that we're getting a third movie called The Collected, potentially. Very good movies. The new movie that's coming out, whenever it comes out, if it comes out, is a long time coming, especially since the other two movies were released prior to 2016, I believe.
Yeah, again, like we talked about earlier with the Creep movies, the Collector movies are another ones that you and I always are trying to trumpet and say, hey, man, why do people not talk about these more? They're really, really solid movies. They're fun watches, and I cannot wait for the third one to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope it does come out because you never know. Sometimes these things end up in a production hell and never gets made. So we'll see. I'll see it when I believe it, or I'll believe it when I see it. Anywho, moving on to December 2nd, 2022, we have Violent Night, which of course was the film with David Harbour where he plays Santa Claus. I don't know if I would put this on the same level as horror, maybe thriller-esque, but it's still a fun film nonetheless. And it takes time, or it takes place at Christmas, so can't beat that.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. It's one of those that I feel like, you know what, you gotta watch rewatch around Christmas time. And another movie that I think we're pretty sure we have a review in the archives, because we had the one year where we reviewed a whole bunch of Christmas horror movies, and this was a new one. So I'm pretty sure there's a review in the archives of this one.
Yeah, I do believe so. And if not, we have talked about it before, I'm sure. And speaking of movies that we have for sure reviewed before, December 4th, 2015, we have Krampus. We did, I think, either the first year we did the whole podcast, I think we reviewed this around Christmas time.
Think so.
Just because this is a good one. This is one of our favorites from around the Christmas season. And it just we just had to what we had to review it. So Krampus is great. We both love it.
It's a must-watch Christmas horror movie. It's very fun. It's right up, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Black Christmas and Krampus. That's kind of, to me, I don't know. It's just the top three Christmas horror movies that I got to rewatch every year. There's others, but those are my three big ones that I really enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. So we're going to talk about some upcoming releases. We have our first release being Terrifier 3, being released video on demand on November 26th, and then physical media on December 17th. So we have a lot of discrepancy on that too. Or in a couple of Facebook pages that had like a billion different dates for when this movie was supposed to come to streaming. So be careful what you look out for out there, because a lot of people just like throw out the most random shit. So
I don't know where they get this shit, but it's officially out today, as of the day we're recording. It's the 26th. It is officially out video on demand. It's not streaming yet. It's not available on, well, I'm sure it'll probably hit Screambox first. I can't say that with any certainty, but I'm certain it probably will be. But it is out there for rent and purchase, video on demand. Now, I know it is. I've seen it. So.
He has seen it. He knows. Not kidding. He is the herald of Terrifier 3.
Preach it.
But very good. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that. And as we always say with all of these movies, before I continue, support them on their digital releases, because the more support they get, both in and out of theaters, the more of it we get. That's really the long and short of it. So moving on to The Naughty List of Mr. Scrooge will release video on demand on December 20th. It is described as former college friends reunite 15 years after a tragedy during a production of A Christmas Carol, gathering a winter chalet, they are stalked and killed one by one by someone dressed as a terrifying Ebenezer Scrooge. That sounds fantastic. I will watch this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's about time someone got on board with just knowing that Ebenezer Scrooge is scary as hell. I have always thought, I don't care what interpretation of a Christmas Carol is out there, whether it's an animated, whether it's a movie, whatever else, I always thought he was creepy and scary as hell in every interpretation. So it's about time somebody made him a horror villain. Bravo.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just that just description just completely blew my mind. So I'll be excited to watch that. But moving on, Yellow Jackets season 3 will premiere on February 14th, 2025. We talked a little about Yellow Jackets here and there. It's a fantastic TV show if you haven't watched it yet. I'm excited for season 3. It had a significant delay due to the writer strikes a little bit while ago, the SAG-AFTRA strikes. So, I'm excited to see this eventually come to fruition.
I've not watched any of it. So I really don't have any strong opinions, but I know it's pretty popular. People are excited about it, so I'm glad. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have to check it out when season 3 comes out. It's pretty good. I think you'd enjoy
Yeah, probably.
it. But last but not least, we have Beetlejuice starting to stream on HBO Max on, well, I'm sorry, it's just called Max now, on December the 6th. So, the perfect time for after the holidays, you know what I mean, if you have some time off or maybe you're just wanting to get in the spooky spirit even though it's December. Beetlejuice will be there to give you your little taste of the spookiness. We have already reviewed Beetlejuice. We enjoy Beetlejuice. I've said the Beetlejuice so many times. I think he should be here by now, but I guess not.
Yeah, well, you don't say. Yeah, you never know yet. But
True.
I'm super excited. I can't wait to watch it again because I really enjoy it. Of course, I got a lot of nostalgia for Beetlejuice, the original, the first movie. So that added to a whole another level of me loving the sequel. So I, but yeah, I can't wait to watch it again. So I'm looking forward to it hitting streaming.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, I think that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and upcoming releases. If you haven't already, go ahead and give us a follow on social media. We talked about how we always talk about different things and we post different things on social media. So it's always best to follow us because some of the stuff you may hear on here, you may hear before or see before we actually record. So
That's
it's
right.
always best to follow us. So.
Yes, and we are officially now on Blue Sky.
I
So
have
there
no
you
idea what
go.
that
It's
is.
the new Twitter, the new the
Oh.
from one of the people that actually developed Twitter to begin with or something. I don't know. It's a little more it's a I don't know. I don't want to get into it. It's got a little less drama. But it's just kind of a new type of Twitter. Kind of like Threads or whatever. But anyway, whatever, it's a new thing. We're on it because we jump on them and get on there so that people can find us anywhere. So there you go.
There you go. Good stuff. Well, then follow us on there if you haven't already, and follow us on all of our other social medias and podcast platforms and whatnot. So
We're on them all.
we certainly are. But with that being said, we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of He Never Left. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time. And we are reviewing He Never Left, written and directed by James Morris, starring Colin Cunningham, Jessica Staples, James Morris, and others. The movie was released November 5th, video on demand. And you know what? I feel like this would kind of be a short review. I don't know there's a lot to say. I don't want to give spoilers away. I will say I was super excited about this movie coming in. But I kind of misinterpreted what I thought it would be. And it wasn't exactly that. I guess I thought it would be more of a retro style, central killer slasher type movie. It wasn't exactly that. But it was a pretty solid little movie. It was fun. And it really had, oh man, let me try not, I don't want to give anything away, but it It's weird because it had like a B story that was really the predominant story, really the movie. It was kind of weird. But there was, I don't know. It's hard, I don't know how to describe it. You don't, it's not what you think when you're watching. It's not what you're expecting. At least I didn't. But then it's kind of takes a little twist and turn at the end. It kind of brings it home. And it's I don't know, it was unique in that way. And I kind of wondered watching through it, I was like, what's I don't I mean, this is okay. I'm not like I'm not enjoying it, but this I don't this doesn't fit where yeah. I guess, you know, a little, I mean, not really a spoiler, but I kept watching thinking, where the fuck's the pale face killer? There's not much of the pale face killer or whatever they called him in it. And I'm like, what is going on here? This doesn't seem like the description to me. But they brought it full circle. They kind of made it work. I don't think it was the greatest, the most solid, but it was okay. I kind of felt like at the end, there was a spot or two where I thought, okay, that's probably it, right? That's kind of where we're done. Then they added a little more, and now it wasn't like Rob Zombie, we're gonna have another hour, but it was like they added a little bit. I was like, I will say, if you watch this movie, which you should, right? You should watch the movie. Definitely watch through the credits.
Yeah.
There is some, I because it's not like just your typical, it's okay if you don't watch it kind of a credit scene. This is some really plot important shit that happens in this in the
It
credits
is.
scene. It's really it really brings home what's happening. And then to me, that the credit scene was some of the best shit. It really gave great context to the rest of the movie, and it really, to me, made the whole thing more enjoyable upon seeing that part. But it was a fun movie. I did enjoy it, even though it wasn't what I thought going in. That's okay because that was just my preconceptions, not caused by anybody else. Just what I thought by like seeing the poster and stuff, what I drew from it. It was a little different. That's not bad. It was still a pretty good movie. It was still well done, still well acted. I, you know what? I thought this was a fun little movie. I don't think it's one that I will rewatch 100 times over and over and over again. It's not that kind of movie. But you know what? It was a solid little movie, and I enjoyed it. So, Ike, what did you think?
Well, I can't really say that I liked it all that much. I'm not gonna lie. I had a couple problems with it. I think that the movie is, despite it not even being that long, I feel like the movie is too long somehow. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that they did in this movie that really they could have done without. And I won't say exactly what it is, but there was a lot of exposition that I felt like wasn't really necessary. I felt like they're really trying to drive some weird point home about like the main character's like past and like what he did before. But like basically this guy spends a lot of time in the hotel room because of some things that he did before. And let's just say he's got to lay low. Well, they showed us a little bit too much of the whole laying low thing. I feel like that could have been like a maybe 20-minute sequence, but I felt like it was like the entire movie. And, you know, we talk a lot about how sometimes small scope movies work really well, small scope, small area, you know, just it can work. Things like Heretic. Heretic had such a small scope, but felt so large in perspective. This movie was. Just did not do well with what they were given. You know, the acting was not bad. I would even go as far to say as the acting was pretty decent in this movie. The story in of itself was not horrible. I think that for the life of me, I just can't understand why you would put such important plot, so not big plot points in the fucking credits when statistically people are not going to watch the credits. Like, I'm sorry. It is a literal. You can look this up because after I watched this movie, I looked it up because I had this exact thought. But if you were to go to Google right now, right, and you were to Google what percentage of people sit through the credits of a movie, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a lot. It is a small portion, of the populace that watch these movies. Not to mention, this was a. this was a streaming movie, right? This wasn't something that had an actual legitimate theatrical release. But so real quick, I just Googled it just for everyone's peace of mind here. The estimation is ranging between 10 and 20% of viewers choose to watch the full credits roll, meaning that, being generous, 2/10 of the people who watch this movie will be given the very important plot information that is hidden within the credits.
I
Okay?
would venture to guess to say the most important. This is
The
the most
most
important.
important.
But yeah, it is really.
So I like, let's say 2 million people watch this. Literally, only, what would that be? Like 400,000 people out of 2 million, no, less than that, probably. No, that's about right, would actually see the most important part of this movie. So you would have more, 80% plus people missing out on probably the most important thing about this movie, which happens during the credits rolling.
Which
So
is, it's ironic because it's only just a few minutes. It's not that long, really. Why not just put it at the end of the movie? It wouldn't prolong the movie that horribly. So it is confusing why they did it this way.
my only thought process is that maybe they made the movie, they did some focus groups, and people were maybe they thought that they implied what had happened somehow,
Yeah,
and like,
maybe.
and then focus groups were like, "What? Where the fuck did this come from?" And so they're like, "Okay, we got to throw something in the credits to hopefully make sense of this."
Well, I
But
would
like you
agree
said,
because I can't imagine the movie without it.
no, I literally, you could have put that at the end of the movie before the credits. And it would have had the exact same impact. If anything, it probably would have changed my rating to this movie, legitimately.
Well,
It
like I said,
annoys me.
I think it was the best part of the movie.
Truly, it was. It put a lot of things into perspective, but it annoys me immensely that they put it in the fucking credits. I just cannot get over that. I cannot fathom why you do that. Genuinely, I cannot fathom it. I'll end it there because I don't want to get on a rant, don't want to get on my
Well,
soapbox, but you know.
it is weird because it's, again, like I said, I have a notion of what this movie is going to be about because I saw the posters, right, which very prominently features the Pale Face Killer, right?
Yep.
He is prominently front and center about there. So I thought, okay, this is going to, it's going to be about him and a lot about him. And the descriptor said it was about him. And again, I don't want to, it's a little spoilery, but it's like you watch the movie and it's like, okay, it's not about the Pale Face Killer. Not even near a substantial portion of the movie. And it's like the same qualms I had about Halloween Ends. It's like it's not that what they did was not that it was so much bad. But it's not what you thought you were getting because you wanted to see a movie about this pale-faced killer, and you didn't really get a movie about the pale-faced killer until like the very end and the credits. And it's so it's weird. And it's not that what they did was bad. It's just not the movie that you felt like you were promised. And you are dead on right. There was I kept watching in this hotel room and everything, thinking, okay, something's going to happen big, right? There's going to be something, is why they're this is where it's at. I will say, pretty early on in the movie, one of the major plot points, you can guess what's going to happen. You
Yeah.
know what's going to happen. I'm not going to say any more, but you know. And this is, we're talking almost from the beginning of the movie. Something happens and you think, oh, all right, there it is. I know what that is. Or more specifically, I know who that is. And, they add a layer to it, but it's still kind of what you expect. And I don't know. Yeah, again, it's not that what they gave you was bad. Not that it was presented bad, or that the acting was bad. I just felt like it's again, it's not. It was an okay little movie, But it's not exactly what you thought you were getting based on the description, the posters, everything else. I really thought we were kind of get like this old school style slasher movie with the pale faced killer, returning to this town and whatnot. And yeah, that's not what it was. That wasn't the central point of it. So it felt weird. And there were, yeah, like you said, there were parts that were, it's kind of boring. It was too much, just too much in this hotel. And I'm not saying what they chose was bad to go that route. I just felt like they had to hit a certain time mark, and it was too much of it. And it's they weren't telling any story per se. They were just kind of filling time. And it's again, it's one of those movies where, like we've said before, I can see why it didn't get a theatrical release. And I don't think it would have done well in the theater. You would have had, your initial people that might have went and saw it, but as soon as word got out, I don't think anybody, there wouldn't have been any follow-up business. I don't think there was enough there. So
No.
I see why it went straight to video on demand and whatever. But I don't even think it's, I don't know. I don't think it's even that strong to go to that level. I feel like this was more of a, and I don't mean this to besmirch any other movie, but this felt more on the level of, okay, let's go straight to either Shudder or Screambox, kind of, or something. It's not even video on demand. I felt like it was just kind of a notch down. It's just one of those weird movies. Like I said, it wasn't bad in the execution, but there just wasn't a lot to really grip you. And it was confusing because it's just not what I anticipated at all. And I guess not what I hoped for, because I was very optimistic about this pale faced killer thing. And I really felt like if they had explored that more, I would have enjoyed it a lot more,
Yeah.
because I think there was something there with it. And wow, whatever. All right, then. Like I said, I don't, let's don't prolong reviewing this. It is what it is. So let's rate this thing. He Never Left. It's available video on demand. And I can't give it a middle of the road enjoyable, but I'll give it a notch below. I'll be generous. I'll be the generous guy this time. I'm going to call it a 2.5 out of 5. Because again, it's not that it was bad. It's just not what I hoped. So I'll call it a 2.5 out of 5 screams for He Never Left. Ike, what are you giving it?
I have to go with the 2.5 screams. I like I said, I genuinely it bothers me so much how they laid out this movie, how the fact that they put that shit in the fucking credits, it just boggled my mind legitimately. I do not understand or have any form of justification for them. Normally, I can explain away a lot of things. I just simply cannot explain that away. And the bad part is that the movie would have probably been a 3, maybe even a 3.5 if it were formatted differently, which is crazy for me to say because normally I'm not like a stickler for that kind of stuff, but for this movie I am.
It just felt like they were trying to be too clever. They thought they were being clever, by putting something substantial in the credits and the credit scenes and overutilizing it. And it didn't, it, I don't know. I felt like it was too much to put in the credits. Too important. I mean, I don't know. It was a major plot point, and you shouldn't have a major plot point, right? Credit scenes are either setting up a potential next movie or just some fun throwaway little point. That year, something like that. I don't know. It was too much important information to put in the credits for me. So there you go. It's a 2.5 out of 5, and I feel like that's the Thanksgiving holiday generous. I really do. I think it's kind of a little generous on our part. But everybody, give it a watch. See what you think, whether you agree or disagree with our opinion of He Never Left, which is available now on video on demand. Next episode, we are reviewing the movie Cellar Door, which is also available video on demand. Plus, we will be talking about episode 4 of Creep Tapes. Before we get out of here on this episode, we'd like to say thank you to our wives, all of our listeners and followers for all your support. I'd like to once again say happy birthday to Monica and happy Thanksgiving once again to all of our listeners and everybody out there. Even if you're listening to it after, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving with lots of food and lots of fun time with the people you love. So, Ike, before we close out and get out of here, anything else you want to throw in?
Happy birthday to Monica, and of course, happy birthday to anybody else's birthday who is around this time. But also, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone. Or if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, hopefully your work gave you some time off, and you can just go chill and do whatever it is you want to do. And as always, make sure you guys are driving safe around this time of year. A lot of places are starting to get snow. I know our Dave and I's home state of Indiana has gotten snow recently. In fact, where I used to live is anticipated to get snow on Thanksgiving, so that's exciting for them. It will not be snowing down here in Florida, thank God. And I don't think it'll be snowing in North Carolina either.
Better not. But even if it's not snowing, it's just a very busy travel time. So be careful. Make sure you allot yourself extra time. No matter, what you think, oh, if I drive here to there, it's X number of hours. That's going to be longer than what you usually make the trip. So, don't get caught up. Don't be an asshole. Just take your time, a lot extra time, and just enjoy. But hopefully, everybody gets to spend plenty of time with those that are important in their lives because, above and beyond anything else, hey, that's what these breaks are all about. It's just getting to relax, recharge, and even if you spend it by yourself. Eating a turkey TV dinner, that's okay. Just, hey, as long as you get a recharge and catch your breath, because life is busy, it's fast paced. So take these breaks and catch your breath and enjoy and gobble gobble, motherfuckers. And yeah, we're bringing that back. So all right, well, let's get out of here. I'm anticipating. I'm happy. I know this is dropping at Thanksgiving, but we're recording it a few days before. I'm super excited. I cannot wait to eat. I love Thanksgiving. I love everything about it. Love all the food. So I'm super excited. So this is a fun time of year from here on out for the rest of the year. Lots of just good stuff and fun times. So until next episode, where like we said, we will review Cellar Door and discuss episode 4 of Creep Tapes. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.